Ultimate Trivia Podcast.
Welcome to the Ultimate Trivia Podcast, the show where knowledge is power and laughter is your only reward. I am your host tonight, and always, my name is Andy. We have the whole crew in the studio tonight alongside Pro-Am. Say hey, Pro-Am.
Hey, Pro-Am.
Well done. All right, we got Nicholas in the house.
Hey.
Nick, what was the last new thing you made out of sourdough?
The last new thing.
Where did it come from?
Bagels.
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 And?
Bagels.
Rate them out of 10.
9, because there's always room for improvement. Well, okay. But they were fire.
So a 10 is impossible to achieve.
Theoretically, yeah. I feel like I could always do something a little bit better.
Okay. Scotty.
Yo.
We haven't talked about your love of wings in a while.
Hey, I'm ready.
Did you guys see the text I sent? Wings and Things is already taken.
Yeah.
In Illinois.
I knew that was a thing.
Yeah.
I did, actually.
I'm sure there's one in every state.
Well, that's probably true. Are you a sauced guy or breaded or naked?
Naked.
Sauce on or on the side?
On.
And what's the favorite sauce?
I guess we'll go classic buffalo.
Ranch.
Attaboy. And with ranch. With I'm a ranch guy.
Okay. Well done. K-Ray in the corner. He's got better things to do, it looks like.
C'est la vie.
Put your phone down, child. It's time to play with adults.
I can multitask.
Okay. We need to get a basket. We're going to put them all in the middle of the table.
I got to take pictures of us. I got to record all this.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
What's your relationship with coffee in general?
For a majority, 90% of my life, I did not drink coffee. I probably had, until 5 years ago, probably I had maybe 5 cups of coffee my whole life.
Wow.
Got introduced to it, so I would drink it kind of regularly. Now, I like it. I'm not a huge fan. I'll probably have, I don't know, maybe 2 to 4 cups a week.
Do you like, a week. Okay, yeah, so you're a regular enough drinker where it's weekly.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you like the sweeter, you know, cafe coffees, I guess, or straight black coffee?
No, I don't like going to Starbucks or anything. That stuff's way too sweet for me. But I just do my coffee very simply. Just got a Keurig. Regular cup, medium roast, and some like a vanilla, some French vanilla soy milk or almond milk.
I use oat milk and it's got a thickness, a viscosity.
I use probably a 1/2 ounce in it in a regular 10 ounce cup and that's just the way I do it. Nice. It's all the sweetness I need.
Big B.
Man what beef. Up?
Tatanka.
What's going on, bud?
We got B, you're a neat freak. Yes?
Yes.
We've covered that many times. What's your favorite chore?
Favorite chore?
Yeah, household chore.
Vacuuming my house.
I don't know if it's a chore as much as it's part of my ODD or
OCD.
OCD. Thank you, OCD.
ODD. It is odd.
Dusting my bedroom and making sure everything's like right where it should be.
Yeah, well, that doesn't surprise anyone
like,
who knows you.
Like something's, if it's off, it bugs me.
I have a different method. I just leave the dust there, and if you move anything, I can tell.
Yeah, you just put it back.
That's how you know where it belongs. That makes sense.
Yeah, I like that.
What's the other side of that coin? If you could give up one household chore forever, what do you hate the most?
Indoor or outdoor?
Your choice,
bro. Household.
I was going to say, raking leaves outside. I hate leaves. Doing leaves. Yeah. Like, that's so annoying. It's just annoying. I can't stand
it. And only aesthetic. Well, not only, but I mean, kill your grass. If you.
I mean, yeah, I like the way the yard looks when it's fresh and clean, no leaves, but just doing it is brutal. Yeah.
Very good. Okay. We're going to start a little series, a little run of episodes where I'm going to ask you guys quick questions where we're getting to know you.
I like that.
Okay. All right. So listeners, you want to send a question in to us, get to know us a little bit better, you can do that at theultimatetriviapodcast@gmail.com or theultimatetriviapodcast.com. Heck, you can go there and ask us a question on our voicemail feature even, and we'll play it right here on the air. You ask us a good enough question, you get yourself a coupon for a free t-shirt from the merch store.
I think Andy's just trying to get some in on our passwords with all these...
Mm-hmm. All the questions. I'm taking notes in the database.
There's so many options.
I know most of your
Tell me the name of your uncle on your mother's side.
Wouldn't be hard to figure out.
What's the name of your first pet?
Right.
You want? Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, that's funny. I didn't even consider that angle. But yeah,
one,
I
see what two, three, four, your, five.
What street did you grow up?
Same combination on my luggage.
All right. Anything else? Nick, this is your episode tonight.
Yeah.
Are you ready to go?
Yeah. Okay. Want to kick off with a little opening something to kind of get the discussion going a little bit?
What is it?
I did two truths and a lie again.
Yes. All right.
And this is
lie. I'm calling that lie. You only did one.
Yeah. This is time related. You know, right now, when this episode probably gets released, it'll be past. But Winter Olympics is going on right now.
Yeah.
So I have two truths and a lie regarding the Winter Olympics. You guys ready?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. Statement number one. In the early Winter Olympics, some ski jumpers openly drank alcohol before competing because it was believed to steady nerves and improve performance.
That checks out.
Okay.
Yeah, it does.
All right. Number two.
Fool themselves into thinking it now, even.
Norway once protested an Olympic judging decision by sending officials a symbolic protest tied to their national identity, which was a box of frozen fish. Okay. The third one.
Norwegians.
The Soviet Union trained the biathletes by having them ski while shooting at live animals instead of targets.
Oh, no.
Man, those are... That's tough.
They're all plausible, aren't they? That's the whole idea.
I'm with Kelly. That first one, like, checks out, right? I mean...
Them drinking booze before...
Yeah, the ski jump.
Especially a long time ago.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the Norway.
All right. So you're saying the box of fish.
Yeah. Andy, I think that's true.
Just to get clarity on that one, they were protesting an outcome.
They were protesting an official decision, and their protest, the way they did it, is they sent a box of fish.
It's very Godfather.
I guess.
They sent it to another Norwegian, and it's probably thought of it as a bribe.
Possibly.
Oh. Is it a Norwegian judge? Had to have been the Russian judge.
Could have been.
9.75.
Yeah, I'm going to say that one.
You're going fish?
I'm going fish.
No. Brian's fish. Going
true.
Fish.
That is true, yes.
No, I need the one that you guys think is fake.
I think the Norwegian one is a lie.
No, fish are fake.
Yeah.
Brian?
I'm going to go live animals is fake. Then
live Russia. Animals from Russia.
Russians are fake.
Russian shooting animals.
I also think Russian, yep.
Well, the Russian one is fake. The Russian one's fake. Yeah.
Ooh,
they definitely used to drink before the ski jump. Like,
I can see that.
Like actually intoxicated before doing it.
That does not shock me at all.
Yeah. You had to be drunk just to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And the Norwegians definitely sent a box of frozen fish to the officials as a protest. Whoa. But yeah, no, the Soviet Union, they never shot it.
What are they? He sleeps with the fishes.
That's what I'm saying, right? Let this be a warning to you.
Those are the Sicilians.
Yeah. All right. I got a few more.
Okay.
Cool. All right. Let's try these. All right. This is a new batch. Here's the first one. At one Winter Olympics, the Olympic flame repeatedly went out because the organizers underestimated how cold the weather would be for the Winter Olympics. Mm. Figure skating once restricted women from competing because officials believed menstruation would make them emotionally unstable.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, that's true.
No, stop.
I'm just kidding.
I know. The third one, curling stones were originally made from melted down cannonballs. So we have... The first one is the flame repeatedly kept going out. The eternal flame kept going out because they underestimated how cold it would be at the Winter Olympics.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Second one, women, you can't skate because of the menstruation.
Close your eyes.
And the bears. And the third one.
You're that bears.
The bears. The whole station's in danger. And the third one was curling stones were originally made of melted down cannonballs.
I think that's false.
I think that one is. I'm sorry.
No, just throw them out, Andy.
I think that one is false also because they're called stones.
Okay, so you think curling's false?
I think curling they've always been stone.
I guess I'll go Olympic flame going out.
Okay, B.
That's the one
I'm stuck between the cannonball and the flame.
Greece.
I'm gonna go with the flame. I'm gonna say the flame.
Okay, the one that's actually fake is the curling one. You are correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Two for two.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Kelly's
nice. Nobody bid on the menstruation.
I mean, it's so crazy, but it sounds. Yeah.
Like
agree.
Something.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That checks out like some male dominated sport would male definitely. Official, exactly. I mean, that 100% makes sense, but.
Definitely.
You know, there used to be a treatment for female hysteria, right?
Yes.
Have we talked about this?
I don't know if we have.
Adults, look it up.
I would volunteer to cure hysteria.
It didn't work.
Back in the day.
Unbelievable. All right. Let's do three more, then we can move on to that.
Okay. Three more?
Yeah. Why not?
I'm joking.
Okay. Here's the first one. A winter Olympian lost a medal after competition because officials ruled his uniform was too aerodynamic. Olympic bobsled team used household furniture as a ballast after arriving under the minimum weight for bobsledding.
Okay.
Okay. Third one, At an early Winter Olympics, medals were awarded weeks after the event because officials forgot to bring them. Those are the three.
So you give me number two again?
Yeah. Well, I'll give you all three real quick. Okay. So first one was an Olympian lost their medal because their outfit was too aerodynamic. And specifically, it was actually a ski jumper is what the question was. I just actually overlooked that part. The second one, bobsled team used household furniture as a ballast because they arrived under the minimum weight for their bobsled. It has to weigh so much. So they used...
They just piled stuff in.
Use household furniture to get the weight.
A chair.
The third one, the medals were awarded weeks later because the officials actually forgot them.
That probably happened.
So those are the three. Anybody, start firing them out.
Yeah, bobsled.
You think the bobsled's fake?
I'm having a hard time envisioning household furniture in a bobsled.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't specify.
I get it.
I'm going to go with the medals being late.
Medals being late. Kelly?
I think the medals being late.
I'm going to go aerodynamic.
Aerodynamic. Okay. So the one that is a lie is the bobsled one, Andy. Yeah. Well done.
Seems so outrageous. I figured it was true. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
The idea is just so crazy. It might work.
Right?
Well, nobody's at home. Everyone's traveling, you know.
Right.
Household furniture. That's why I thought
that
might not be true. But
what furniture, right?
Yeah.
That was where I was having trouble.
Good anyway. Call.
Yeah.
I hope it was just like a chair and the anchor guy just hopped in a chair and sat there at the end.
I mean, there's not a ton of room in there. So, I mean,
like a
household furniture is going to be probably wood.
It's got a lounger.
It's going to add that much weight to it.
A lounger.
A leg. Chair leg.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
Cool. Okay, that takes us to trivia.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I'm ready to rock whenever you guys are.
What do you got for us?
You guys want to know what I'm talking about?
We're not just going in blind.
All right. Tonight we are doing famous, quote-unquote, maybe not as famous, firsts. So famous firsts.
Okay.
First person to do this or the first person to do that.
Yeah.
So it's famous firsts.
Okay.
So, and I also did each question's a different category. If you would, a famous first.
Will you tell us what the category
is? I will. Okay. I will beforehand. And the question should reveal pretty easily what category it is as well. You want me to read a short synopsis?
Yeah, let's learn about it.
It's like, I feel like it's our first episode for some reason. I couldn't remember if we ring the bell. When do we do it? All right. Ever wonder who snagged the first selfie or which brave astronaut first sipped a space soda? History isn't just dusty dates. It's a series of hold my beer moments that changed the world forever. From the first time a pilot legally cracked the sound barrier to the first text message ever sent, our exploration of famous firsts covers it all. Prepare for a whistle-stop tour through 10 high-stake categories, which are world and American history, sports, science, food, military, war, music, movies, literature, and technology.
Remember that. Big spread.
So yeah, I spread it out, 10 different questions, 10 different topics, famous or maybe not as famous firsts.
I dig it.
Ring that bell, man. Let's go.
It's time for the main event, our 10-question trivia game on famous firsts, and Nick will be your host. Here's how it works. He's going to read a question. The rest of us are going to write our answers on our whiteboards, and when he says reveal, we have to show our answer. If we get it right, who's giving us a point?
I guess I will.
Thank you, K-Ray. And if we get it wrong, well, that's when the real fun begins. So let's see who ends up on top today. We have our cheers beers to address before we get started. We actually don't have a beer to celebrate
with. No, we don't. Well, I have beer to celebrate anytime we want.
We all have plenty of drinks. We don't have a brewery that we're targeting. Hey,
I'm celebrating Anheuser-Busch.
If you know anybody.
Budweiser.
Here's the Anheuser.
I got Yuengling Flight.
There you go.
Bush.
You got regular Yuengling, Scott.
I got regular.
As we toast Pro-Am, who are we toasting to tonight?
Joanne and Jim from Instagram.
Okay, very good. Joanne and Jim, thank you very much.
A little ditty about cheers Joanne and Jim.
Jim and Joanne.
JJ.
All right, let's hear it.
Let's fire it up. All right, first question, first category is technology. I write these episodes and I completely forget when I wrote them or anything about them. So it's new to me at the same time.
Oh, you should play with us then.
I probably could. You might have a chance. And I still would lose somehow.
I like that.
Yeah. All right. So which mobile application was the first to officially surpass 1 billion, with the B, individual downloads on a single platform? So
an app?
Yes. So okay. Mobile, keywords there, mobile application, first one to officially surpass 1 billion individual downloads on a single platform. So give that some thought.
1 billion.
1 downloads. Billion. So this is the app that first surpassed 1 billion downloads. I know there's got to be a lot of them running through your head.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the answer is supposed to be real obvious.
Question one should be. But Nick doesn't always play by the rules.
I definitely don't play by the layup rules.
Tough.
This one, I don't know if I have any true layups in this one, to be honest with you.
All right.
Yeah.
Downloaded.
Yeah.
So it didn't come loaded. You had to actually. Well, no, your phone comes loaded with certain apps.
The calculator.
I got you.
Exactly. Thank you.
I did not specify.
Yeah. Okay.
On a single platform. So downloaded. And maybe it was loaded on the phone. Maybe it wasn't. You know?
Gotcha.
But I will tell you this. It's not the calculator.
Yeah.
I want to make sure you guys understand that. I know there's some things like that come on the phone. The calculator.
Now I'm uncomfortable with my answer.
As Andy erases.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, I'm just saying like the calculator comes on every phone. It's an app that you definitely could download from the App Store.
Crappy U2 album that came with the iTunes. Thanks.
All right.
Apple phones come with things that are automatically put on the phone. So do Android phones. Mm-hmm. So it could be one of those, but it's not one of the utility apps. Mm-hmm. Let me just put it that way. Does that make sense?
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we're looking for the first mobile application to officially surpass 1 billion individual downloads in a single platform. Let's reveal YouTube from Andy, TikTok from Brian, Twitter from Kelly, Facebook from Scotty. Okay. We don't have a right answer.
Poop.
It's Gmail. Gmail.
That's what I erased.
Yes.
I would say Gmail actually never came to my mind, but it makes sense. Like I was thinking Facebook, whatever. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gmail. Makes sense.
Yeah. Well, Android phones do come preloaded with the Google platform, if you would. Similar to iPhones have. You know, it's just called Mail, I think, on iPhones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Specifically or especially the Android version of the Google Play Store is where it hit 1 billion downloads.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Could it have been quicker than that with iPhone? Did it calculate the amount of downloads?
It said on a single platform, so I'm taking it that it's including both Android or whatever the Google Store is, whatever they call it.
Yeah,
Google Play. Yeah. It also comes pre-installed on Android phones, so that counts, I guess, possibly. Good. So when it first launched on April 1st, 2004, the public thought it was an April Fool's Day prank. At the time, competitors like Yahoo and Hotmail only offered a few megabytes of storage. Gmail promised 1 gig of free space.
Yeah. What year was that?
04.
That's
a lot back then.
Yeah.
You got to pay for that now.
People thought it was too good to be true.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. All right, so not off to a great start, but it was not a layup. And I don't know if any of these are truly a layup. Question two.
He's coming for revenge from his offer.
We're all going over.
Canada. Canada.
Zero. What's
He got zero in Canada.
I got zero in Canada, yes.
So we got two of you guys now.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Next category, question two, is literature.
Uh-oh.
Which 15th century German goldsmith and inventor is credited with sparking the printing revolution by introducing the first movable type printing press in Europe? Hint, there is a Bible named after him. I'll give you that hint. So 15th century German goldsmith and inventor is credited with sparking the printing revolution because he introduced the first movable type printing press in Europe.
2 points for first name and last name.
I don't know if I was going to ask that, but what if you get the first name wrong?
If I understand who you're going for, I'll give it to you. And I didn't mention it. There are some bonuses in this. I didn't add up how many. I think it's 14 or 15 points possible on this whole thing. Yeah.
Figure it out.
Okay. I'm beginning to think that someone hands you a trivia as you walk into the studio for you to claim.
No, I write these things and months ago or whatever, and I put them in the bank and. Yeah. They show up. So, all right. So, we're looking at the 15th century German goldsmith / inventor credited with sparking the printing revolution by introducing the movable type printing press in Europe. Hint, there is a Bible named after him. Let's reveal. Doc, you got Gutenberg. So does Kelly. So does Brian. And so does Andy. You guys are all correct. Yeah. Gutenberg. Good for you guys.
Oh, Johan.
I don't know if I would have known that off the top of my head. Good job, everybody.
Big fan.
Yeah. Big fan.
Huge.
Love Gutenberg. The printing press.
Wow, the only Gutenberg I knew was from Police Academy.
It was Steve. Yeah. Steve Gutenberg.
Actually, his great-great-great-grandson.
Just winging it now, aren't you?
You're going to do that again?
Nick, that was brilliant.
Nick, for a brief second, Nick believed him.
Yeah, he did.
Could have been right. Did the hint help anybody, or did you guys actually just know that?
As soon as you said printing, I knew the
answer. Okay.
Yeah.
That was like the internet in their day, though. Like,
that changed history.
Books had to be copied by hand until that. So, I mean, it was crazy how
it was about this
advanced, how in the same way that computers advanced us in this age, that advanced humanity.
I'm reading a book now. It's called These Truths, and it's about American history. And they reference that's the same time frame as the New World being discovered. So the fact that as much history as we have on this, and it's lasted as long as attributed to the printing press, Gutenberg.
Huge.
Good job, everybody. You guys talked about it. I really don't feel like the flavor text is even necessary.
Great.
I mean, it's not that great.
The less you talk, the better.
All right. Perfect. All right. Number three, we're going to sports now.
Sports.
Who was the first woman to be named as Sports Illustrated Sports Person of the Year?
That's a great trivia question.
Here's a hint. Mm. She shared the award with John Wooden that year.
Hmm.
So that helps you with the time frame. You know, basically saying, you know, I don't imagine John Wooden was Sports Person of the Year in like 2023 or anything. So
probably not.
Yeah. So we're looking for the first woman to be named as Sports Illustrated Sports Person of the Year. Kelly's written and down. Doc is.
As soon as you said John Wooden, Kelly started writing. So made me nervous.
That helped him.
I have time an idea, but I can't think of her name. I won't even write it if I can't come with it, but I know the sport.
Could you draw a picture of her?
I know the sport. I just can't think of her
name. Know the sport. Okay.
I think I do. I just can't think of her name.
Write down the sport just so that actually tells us if you truly had an idea.
I think I know the sport. Yeah. I'll write it down.
I'll know it when I hear it.
So we're looking for the first first woman to be named Sports Illustrated Sports Person of the Year. Shared the award with John Wooden that year. Andy's ready. Brian, you're still thinking. Kelly's. Oh, he's debating. He's fighting with himself.
Can I write down two?
Sure.
Yeah, you get one.
And I'm going to give you credit for either one. Doc, you got an answer, right?
I do.
Before you reveal, let me say my second one.
Okay.
I'm staying with what I got.
Before I actually say the answer. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and reveal. Andy has Billie Jean King. You have tennis, so you're on the right track. I can't give you anything. We have, Babe, whatever her name is, Zaharias, yes. And Billie Jean King from Scotty.
I was going to change it to Billie Jean King.
You should have, because that is the correct answer. It is Billie Jean
King. The time frame King. And starting to think about the sport.
Yeah.
Yep.
And her beating.
What was his name?
I want to say Billy Martin, but it's not Billy Martin.
No.
You know how bogus that was, though.
I can't remember his name.
The rules.
Yeah.
She had they gave her points.
Did she beat Arthur Ashe?
No, it was an old white guy.
No, I thought I had
it written
in
here. He looked like
Woody
Allen.
I thought I had it written in here, but I guess I don't.
Yeah.
Bobby Riggs.
That's it.
Thank you.
That checks out.
Pro-Am.
Loving that.
But she broke the 17-year streak of all male Sports Illustrated Sports Persons of the Year.
Yeah.
It also occurred the same year that Title IX was signed into law.
Mm.
So, coincidence?
Cool fact.
I don't know about that.
What year was it?
See.
68.
73, if I recall.
Okay.
Because I think it was 73, wasn't it, Amy?
Wooden's.
I think it was 1973. And then,
1973, Battle of the
thank
Sexes.
You. That's what Battle of the Sexes is. That was the same year that she got the award to? Correct. All right.
Oh.
And then it wasn't again until 76 when Chris Everett won, and she won as a solo act.
Nope. Call me Chris Everett again.
That's early.
For the Jim Rome show. Yes.
Call me Chris
Everett. All right. One more time. So we're moving along. Question four. We're going to American history now. Which state holds the distinction of being the first to ratify the U.S. Constitution? The state actually has a nickname, the first state.
Oh.
Oh, that helped Brian out.
Oh, big time. It should probably help Kelly, too. Mr. State Motto Man.
I didn't know this one.
I
knew the motto. So.
Oh, really? I did not.
Oh, yeah.
I guess I'm not a motto guy. So we're looking for the state that was the first to ratify the U.S. Constitution, also nicknamed the first state. Mm-hmm. All right. Everybody has an answer, right?
Yep.
All right. Let's reveal. I'm going to start with you, Brian. We got Delaware from Brian, Virginia from Andy, Delaware from Kelly, Delaware from Scott.
I'm going to guess it's Delaware.
It is so How Delaware, Andy, you big idiot.
I feel like Brian said this before we started recording the
Tonight?
No way.
I didn't hear it.
Yeah. We were talking about states.
We were.
I'm glad I got my hat on. My mind is blown right now.
I did say that.
Yeah.
I did say that. You said this?
He surprised himself.
No, I just thought I did say that.
Yeah. And what conversation were we having where you said Delaware was the first state?
We're talking about the 250th.
I said the first state.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yep.
I really don't listen to you. Like,
clearly.
Like,
obviously.
It's kind of like, you know, as a baseline.
Right. He's a good friend, really good.
Hey, by the way, listeners, we got something planned for this year's 250th birthday.
Yeah, so. Letting that cat out of the bag early, huh? Right.
Quinquessential. Centennial.
Yeah, not a good ton of flavor text of this. It was a 30-0 vote, which was unique, and the state advocated for equal representation, which is known as the Great Compromise. The nickname became official in 2002.
A little late on that.
Yeah. No kidding. I don't think it counts anymore.
That's a little surprising, actually.
Yeah. It grew back.
Nobody cared anymore. All right. Let's go to question five. And we're doing music.
Okay.
Which smooth-voiced crooner, famous for his trademark cardigan sweaters and relaxed style, was the first artist to be awarded an official RIAA gold record in 1958?
Can we get the race of the individual?
Nope. I will give you guys a hint. Do we feel we need a hint?
Nope.
Maybe.
Oh, Brian's shutting down the hint.
Brian?
No, I'm whatever. I'm teasing. I don't
know. I
don't even know if I'm right. So I don't.
I do have a hint.
That's up to you to give the hint. I don't care.
I'm not going to write until you make a decision.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead and give us a hint.
Okay.
Go ahead.
The hint I have is he had a show named after him.
Oh.
Jeez, you know what?
Just gave it away now, but okay.
Yeah. And now I'm going to give you a bonus, too.
That's not a hint.
All right. If you can name the artist and the album, I'll give you a bonus point for the album. Serious? I will.
What if you get the artist right, but the album wrong? No. You still get a point?
You still get a point.
Okay. So I'll take a shot.
Yeah, take a shot. Yeah. Artist and album, I'll give you a point if you get either one. If you get what?
The hint screwed me up.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Oh,
I think he gave it away, but whatever.
It caused me to pivot off of the answer that I felt okay about.
Me too.
And now I got nothing.
Now I'm second guessing. To me, it's between one or two guys.
I'm feeling so impressed with you right now, Brian, but this is how confident you were. The episode that was released this week of Canada and knowing how many hockey teams were from Canada.
Oh, I can't believe it. I'm so mad about that.
You were very confident.
I said six and it was seven. I was like, you got to be kidding.
You were so confident and you were wrong.
Six, seven.
So let's not do that. We're grown men. All right. I'll read it one more time, then we'll reveal. So we're looking for the smooth voice crooner, famous for his trademark cardigan sweaters and relaxed style. Yeah, was the first artist to be awarded an official RIAA gold record in 1958. Had a show named after him. Let's reveal. I'm going to start with Kelly, Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin.
Because the Dean Martin
Frankie
show.
Frankie Valens from Andy. Yep. Sorry, Dean Martin was Brian. And Dean Martin from Scotty. We don't have a correct answer.
Sweet.
I don't care what your albums are because it was Perry Como.
Perry.
Yeah. Oh.
No, when you said the show, I was like, God, D. Martin. Like, I was like, solid. Wow. Yeah. I didn't even know he had a show.
Solid guess.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
Solid guess. Yeah.
Idiots.
I've heard the name, but I couldn't tell you one. I don't know if I've ever heard Perry Como.
Some Christmas songs.
Yeah. And I thought we'd been older than that. The only reason I know him, I did a DJ'd at a assisted living facility one time.
No.
And, I took requests.
Hilarious.
I took requests, and there was a lot. No, it's not a joke. And there was
do the stanky leg.
There was a lot. There was a lot of requests for Perry Como, and I was like, "Who is this?"
Wow.
What's the album? The
album is Catch a Falling Star.
Okay, never
mind. That sounds amazing.
I don't know if I can continue. I do have a little flavor test.
It was a great time. I think your grandmother was there.
I was supposed to see Kelly hyping the room. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love it.
Combo.
I had disco lights.
I'm sweating.
I guess he was known as the singing barber. He was a licensed barber. Gave Kirk Douglas a haircut on live TV. He had many million selling hits, but refused to have most of them certified by the RIAA because. they trademarked the term and standardized it, and I guess he was just like against that whole process or something along those lines. Hey,
so parody and roll, like
I guess he's, I guess he sold a ton of albums.
Pioneer,
yeah.
But I really don't know much about Perry Como other than that.
Scott, jump in anytime you want.
Yeah, you know anything about Perry Como?
I don't, other than some Christmas songs that we know. He does. He does the famous version of them. I should say.
Andy's still losing
about
me DJing at an assisted living facility.
That's a great start to a story that could end different ways.
You should have been there for the ending. It was even better. I can't discuss that.
Well, that was five. Let's take a break for our sponsors, and we'll come back and get the score check.
And after five questions, we got a tight race here, guys. Andy, Brian, and myself, we all have two, and Scott's in the lead with three, and we all hate him for it.
Yes, we email.
This is getting old.
Love you guys.
Agreed.
Scott, to be fair, I hate you regardless of your score.
I appreciate that. All right. I appreciate that.
Going on to number six, we're going to world history. I think
the feeling's mutual.
And I feel like half of the answer is a layup on this one. So the Nobel Prizes were first awarded in 1901 to honor outstanding contributions to humanity. Who was the first man to receive a Nobel Prize? And specifically, it was in physics. And who was the first woman to be honored Nobel Prize, which actually happened 2 years later. So 1901, who was the first guy to get one?
Mm-hmm.
2 years later, who was the first woman to get one? I'll give you guys, do we need a hint?
Nope.
Kelly does not want
to. I do.
No, I don't give a hint. I don't give one. I don't care.
Yeah.
But I don't think I need one.
All right. So for the male, x-rays is your hint.
Good. I think I'm glad I got the hint.
Okay. And for the woman, radioactivity. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you a point per answer. So possibility of 2 points. I like giving bonus points because a friend of the show, Slothy, said enough with the bonus points. So I think I'm going to deliberately start throwing bonus points out there just to aggravate
him. Annoy him. I love it.
So we're looking for the first male Nobel Prize winner. That was to happen in 1901. The hint was x-rays. And the first female Nobel Prize winner, that was in 1903. The hint for her was radioactivity. So I've said, I figure half the answer you guys would probably know easily.
But which one, the x-ray one?
I'm not going to say which one you guys should know. I just figured, of the two answers, there's one that I feel like most people know.
One is 100%. The other one,
For you, debating. is it the male or the female that's 100% for you?
Female.
Yeah. I figured most people know that one.
I think they're both wrong.
Oh, that's good.
But I went from the Big Bang Theory. Some names.
Ooh. Oh,
nice. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's,
I like it.
That's honestly where I drew from.
I'm not bad.
And I'm not saying they're right, but yeah.
I'm not mad at you.
That's where I got the names.
Yeah. The male name, I really don't know the name.
I don't.
That's unfortunate.
Who invented x-ray? If that's even the right answer, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
I wrote something down. I don't think it's correct.
All right.
Let me guess before you reveal. If it's not what I have.
Oh, Doc's going back to the board.
He hasn't been to the board yet.
Oh,
I've been to the board. I'm just changing one of my answers.
Which one?
Where you say you don't know who the guy is. I'm like, well.
No, I did not say you know who the guy is.
No, you don't know.
You don't know.
No, I don't know. But that says a lot.
That doesn't say much.
No, I get so many wrong on this show.
Long shot. If you had the first name wrong with the last name correct, how's that work?
Just write down the last name.
I always take the last name.
I'm just asking.
I'm also about the intent.
Yeah. Long shot.
You know?
I got you.
I'd even give somebody a chance to even explain themselves. Like, I might even give you a point for that.
Well, can I say this? He's winning and he's taking too long. Let's
relax. I like that. We're lenient.
Yeah. I'm feeling pretty lenient.
I got you.
Yes. Doc, you good now?
Yeah, it's fine.
Fine. We'll start with you. Let's reveal. Scott has Tesla and Curry. Kelly has Jonas Salk. Don't know who that is. And Marie Curie. We have Tesla from Brian and Madame Curie as well. And Freud and Curry. Everybody got the female correct. So everybody gets a point. Okay. Nobody had the dude.
Is it Fleming?
No.
Damn it.
Yeah. Again, this is not a name. Wilhelm Röntgen.
Oh, no.
That's who invented the x-ray, apparently.
Yeah, I wouldn't, yeah.
Ah, the old Röntgen x-ray.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Can you spell the last name?
It'll make them like they used to.
R-O with like the two dots above the O.
Yeah.
N-T-G-E-N. So is it Röntgen?
Is there any X-rays?
I'm just happy I got a point. I'm good.
Everybody got X-rays. Everybody got a point.
I've had, I should know who they.
Yeah, no kidding.
It was a wash question.
But yeah, to me, that's not a common name. But the X-ray is a.
Well, so honestly,
that's a big deal.
When you said the answer, I was wrong, but I figured it'd be like something I recognize from Big Bang. You know?
For sure.
I've heard so many names on that show.
Oh, for sure. Let's see. Any cool flavor text? 1895, he discovered a new form of radiation and didn't know what it was, so he used the mathematical symbol X, which equals X-ray. But he didn't patent it because science belongs to the world. That was his thought process.
A lot of free thinkers.
Yeah. I don't have the note, but he probably died poor because of that.
Knowledge.
Did Jonas Salk cure polio?
I don't know.
That name didn't even ring a bell to me. Yeah.
Prime?
Miss.
Yeah, Prime.
No, Madam Curry.
What Jonas Salk do?
Yeah.
Not you.
Looked it up while I'm reading this. So she won it twice. Her notebooks are still radioactive today.
Yeah. It doesn't go away.
No. And her whole family holds the record for the most Nobel Prizes. She has two. Her husband won one. Her daughter won one. And her son-in-law won one.
That's incredible.
Like, wow. That's a dynasty.
That's impressive.
Yes.
The first science dynasty.
Science dynasty. You don't hear enough about it.
No, that's definitely right.
No, because that's important, though. Like, that should be more talked about.
It should
that's
be more celebrated.
That's incredible.
But it's not...
We don't get taught
this stuff, and you know, because it's not American history, per se. You know,
yeah.
We're gonna
fudge saying, like, their impact on the world's probably just...
For sure. And I'd never heard the name Wilhelm Röntgen, and we should, because X-rays are used every day.
Yeah.
Amy, what did Salk do?
Jonas Salk did not cure polio. He developed the first widely used effective polio vaccine.
Oh.
Mm. Yes.
Which more or less ultimately almost cured polio. I think it's very minimal.
Eradicating.
Yes.
And Alfred T. Nobel came up with the Nobel Peace Prize. Mm. He also invented TNT. Dynamite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not very peaceful.
No, not at all.
Definitely not.
So let's move on to question number 7. We're going to food. The Library of Congress officially credits which restaurant with inventing and serving the very first hamburger sandwich?
Dang it, I knew.
In the United States. I mean, obviously, when I said Library of Congress. So the first hamburger sandwich in the United States, who do they credit with that? So the name of the restaurant, if you would. And you know what? I feel like some bonus points on this, too. So I'll give you a point if you know the year. I'll do up to 4. If you know the name of the restaurant, the year that they served the first one, the city, and the state. Which is kind of a gimme. If you know the city, then you probably know the state. So up to 4 points on this one. I'm looking for the name of the restaurant that served the, as far as the Library of Congress is concerned, the first hamburger sandwich, the year that they started, the city, and the state that they did it in.
So if you got like just the restaurant and the state, that's 2 points though, or you have to get
sure.
All, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. I'll give you for every correct part of the answer, up to 4 points.
Any hints on this
one? I don't have any hints on this one. It's still there today.
I can describe so many details about the answer, but I can't tell you the name of the place. Mm. They still use the exact same racks and a vertical toaster. I'm probably stepping all over his stuff.
No, step all over it.
They have not like ever been washed, you know, like it's the same original racks. Mm-hmm. They put it on regular white bread that is and only ketchup is the only.
I like this.
I know all of these details, but I don't like
know my answer.
I know my answer is wrong now, but
I know it's wrong.
You're wrong about the ketchup part. They don't allow ketchup.
Oh, that's what it is. There is no ketchup.
But it is still open today. It's still a thriving, it's like a historical landmark at this point. So we're looking for the restaurant, the year they started, the city and the state of what the Library of Congress considers the first restaurant to serve the hamburger sandwich. Does everybody have at least something written down?
Yeah, I wrote something. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to start with Andy.
Yeah.
Let's go. We got Franklin's Pub, 1814, Boston, Mass.
Wow.
Ryan's got Big Boy in California. Kelly's got McDonald's, 1931 in Illinois. We got Dairy Queen from Scott, 1954, Dallas, Texas. Nobody is correct at all.
Even close.
No.
I had McDonald's at first.
No.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, the year was 1900, boys. So you guys were not going back far enough. Yeah. It's in New Haven, Connecticut, and it's called Louie's Lunch.
New Haven.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Yeah. And it you're right about it was vertical. They had these vertical cast iron broilers. that they cook the burgers in.
Did you see that on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Drives or something?
Yeah, I've seen
it. Oh, it's been on all kinds.
I knew McDonald's was wrong because I'm like, wait a minute. They don't know.
I've seen like on every Food Network show that does anything where they travel to any place. What you got, Doc?
Andy and I are going to be driving through New Haven.
We will be visiting this place.
You got to go to Louis' lunch.
So now we know we're going to eat there.
You have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like they serve it on bread.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's, it's these cast iron grills that are somehow cook the burger. It's very weird, but they're original.
It's like a vertical flame.
But bring your own ketchup.
Well, you have to sneak it in. If you ever see a show where they talk about, you have to sneak ketchup in. Yeah. They don't serve it with that.
Putting ketchup on a hot dog at a hot dog place in Chicago. They'll murder you.
Yeah, don't do that.
Well, Chicago will murder you for everything.
Louis' Lunch.
Louis' Lunch, New Haven, Connecticut. I'm sure there's always long lines. So
we got nothing but time, baby.
The vertical cast iron broilers are from 1898 and served on toast from a toaster from 1929. It's old school stuff.
Somebody would come in there and want like the chopsteak or whatever, but could only have one hand or something like that. I don't remember the exact circumstances of there, but that's how it was born.
I don't know.
The more you tell the story, the more I think I've heard it before, but yeah.
It's been covered.
Escapes
food
me.
Documentary.
Escapes me.
You guys have talked so much, I thought we're still doing two truths and a lie. Andy's got a one-handed chef over there making a
good Lord
hamburger.
All right, let's move on. We're going to question number 8. The topic or subject matter is science. In 1962, which NASA astronaut and future U.S. senator became the first American to successfully orbit the Earth? Everybody knows who landed on the moon. But before we landed on the moon, we did other stuff.
Yeah, we did. A whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah. So who's the astronaut who also became a U.S. senator? You feel confident. You look confident.
I am.
You know this one confident. For sure?
Yes, sir.
Became the first American to successfully orbit the Earth. So you got to think about those early astronauts and pick one of those names.
The real pioneers, baby. Yes.
Yeah, baby.
Yes.
Test pilots. Quite literally test pilots, actually.
Yes. Oh, no, they were.
Yeah.
Well, they pulled... The astronauts were pulled from the Air Force, right?
Right, that's what I mean. Mm-hmm. They pulled them from that program.
Good movie that has this astronaut, a character playing, or an actor playing this astronaut in a movie.
Now you got me pivoting here. I'm confident.
I think he's played by Glenn Powell.
Okay.
Doesn't help you at all? No? Everybody have an answer at least.
Yeah.
So we're looking for the first astronaut to orbit, first American, so NASA astronaut to orbit the Earth. Let's reveal. I'm going to start with you, Doc. We got John Glenn. Kelly's got Alan Shepard. Buzz Aldrin from Brian. John Glenn from Andy. It is the one and only John Glenn. John Glenn.
What movie were you referencing?
I was referencing Hidden Figures.
I thought so.
Which is a fantastic movie.
Great movie. It's great.
What's that? What's her name? Taraji P. Henson? Is that her name?
Yes.
Really good.
Fantastic. Very good film.
He also went up again to become the oldest man.
I did not know that.
He is no longer the oldest man, but at the time he did it, he was the oldest.
I don't think I knew that. Might even be my flavor text. Oh, there it is.
There it is.
At the age of 77, he was he's the oldest person to travel in space.
So what state senator?
That I don't know. I don't think I have that.
Do
I have
that? Pro-Am.
Let's see. During the first orbit, he baffled by yellow-green... He was baffled by yellow and green specks dancing outside the windows. He called them they were like fireflies.
Drugs.
Could have been. Yeah. You never know what they were feeding the guys.
The mushrooms they gave them before they went up.
Apparently it was like just frozen vapor venting from the coolant. But in 1998, like you said, Andy, he flew on the Discovery at the age of 77, become the oldest person to travel in space. But apparently somebody broke, or I guess it was broken in 2021, and I don't have the name for that. He orbited three times when he did orbit. The first time, back in whatever year that was. I don't remember what I put. 62. There you go.
There you go.
Again, I don't remember writing these.
You're finding stuff out as you go along that you just said.
Yeah.
I think William Shatner broke it, and then somebody else broke it after that.
Oh.
Did you say William Shatner?
Yeah. They send a rocket up where you get to a certain... What's like considered
outer space. Katy Perry did it.
Yeah.
And found love.
Yeah.
Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
And there is a I guess we'll call it a rumor, that he was supposed to orbit 7 times, but it was cut short. And NASA says that's BS. It's a bunch of bull. It was always supposed to be 3.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
NASA's been known to tell us the truth.
Picture them stomping their feet.
Yeah, like landing on the moon. Right.
Param, what do you got over there?
He was the senator of Ohio.
Hey, there you go. Thank you.
Great state of Ohio.
That's right.
All right. So that was eight. Kelly, what do we got for a score check?
They moved a little bit. Ooh. We got me and Brian both have three coming in the rear.
Mm-hmm.
Andy has four. And the good Dr. Scott has five.
All right. So everybody's in the mix.
Step it up.
Let's see how we do with these last two. Doc's in the lead, he said. So it's Scott's got five, Andy's got four, and you two have three. All right. We're going to the movies.
Okay. Good.
It's not good.
One of our favorites. Blazing Saddles. Is widely considered to be the first major American studio film to include what? And there's two possible answers. So this movie included what that was considered to be the first major American release picture to include what? So something within the movie, and I will accept two possible answers. And if you somehow wrote both of them, I would probably give you 2 points.
Probably? This is important.
I'll give you two points if you can name them both.
I can't even come up
with one. But if you write down two answers and one of them is correct, I will give you a point for if you get any of these correct. So there's two possible answers. Blazing Saddles, first movie, major American studio film to include what within the movie?
Wow.
Yeah.
Stumped.
Ooh.
I am truly stumped.
I mean, this is a magical movie. It's a groundbreaking film. Arguably one of the greatest comedy flicks of all time. Doc is thinking, everybody's thinking really hard. Wow. I mean, there's so many elements to this movie. They're like, dude, I don't think they've ever done that before, possibly.
Yeah. I mean, there's shocking moments.
Yeah.
So read it one more time. I'm just trying to.
Okay.
Is there a hint in there?
Blazing Saddles. Yeah. There's no hint in this one.
Yeah. Okay.
Blazing Saddles is widely considered to be the first major American studio film to include what? And I made that specific because there could have been a foreign film or something like that that may have done something similar or done this in their movie. But this is the first American studio film to include what? And I will accept up to two answers, and the two answers are not related. So it's not like, oh, it could be this or this. No, they're two separate.
Would you consider the answers to be controversial?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. And I did have Pro-Am fact check this, and she did not shut me down on this, because I even said widely considered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Brian, you got an answer?
You can't
write down something. You've seen the movie.
I know, but I cannot think of anything that would be the first. Like, I really don't know.
It's not the bad word. Okay. All right, there's your hint.
Well, no, I know.
It's not the bad word.
No, I had no idea how to write that, but that's
no, where the it's not the bad word that is said in there, okay? All right, Brian, you're going to abstain.
I'll abstain. I really can't think of something.
And I'll let you write down two answers. If you get one of them right, I'll take it.
Yeah,
I just have one.
Right. Yeah. All right. Doc?
I wrote, whatever. Educated guess.
My answer's not right.
All right. Does everybody have something written down?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to start with Brian, because you didn't write anything down. All right, Andy, what do you got? We got a toilet and horse dying. Okay. Scotty's got opening theme song and an animal stunt. And we have a black lead actor. Oh, not bad. The horse, you're on the right track. I don't know if I'll give it to you. So the actual answer is an audible fart in a movie.
Oh,
the bean scene.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And the second one, a man punching a horse. That's the first time that's happened in a film.
That's funny.
So I don't think I give it for a horse dying.
Yeah.
And yours was, you said animal stunt.
That's, yeah, they punched the horse.
Is that what you were referencing or referring to?
You're referring to that scene.
They punched the horse, yeah. I thought I was on the right track with the theme song. I was thinking, what's unique?
The first movie to have a theme song?
Yeah, like the whole opening sequence is, you know, he rode a blazing saddle.
Yeah.
And I thought, maybe that had never been done before. I think of that.
Like the first, they have an original score written just for that film, you're saying?
Just a song that was the name of the movie.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? There's no, like, it's the Wizard of Oz or
I like that.
No, nothing like that.
Huh. Weird science.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is a few years before. I
know. Yeah.
Just saying. Oh, yeah. No, my bad.
Yeah.
I'm not going to award any points. No points awarded.
All right.
No awarded.
All so, dumber for having here.
Well, so, Andy's still in the running then.
Yeah. Mel Brooks. Well, this is the last one. This last one has multiple points.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
But before I go on to that, Mel Brooks argued that in traditional Westerns, cowboys lived on beans, but there was no noise. Like old school movies.
Yeah.
So he decided to break the ground and break wind, literally. He made them louder because he feared laughs would be too loud. So he actually made the whole fart scene even louder. The farts were actually muted when it first aired on TV, which made it a silent scene, which would have been just weird. I think I actually remember seeing it that way when I was younger.
Probably, yeah.
Which just sounds ridiculous. It was a stunt horse, so you're on the right track, definitely.
I feel like I was right.
Yeah. Kind of, but I wanted the specific.
Okay. I could have written it out for you.
I'm going to keep Andy in the game.
Yeah.
And I'm looking
right at Andy as I'm talking.
I'm keeping everybody in the game. So there was 2 feet of sawdust for the horse to fall. But they didn't hit a real horse. I don't know why the sawdust even mattered. But people were horrified by it.
Yeah.
They wanted it taken out, but Mel Brooks was like, no, we're doing this. So we're going to move on. So number 10. There is 2 points possible.
Yes.
So everybody's still in this mix. We're going to military / war is our topic.
Oh, boy.
What were the names of the first military engagement of both the American Revolutionary War and the first official battle of the American Civil War? So American military war is the topic. So we're looking for the first military engagement that is considered, at least considered the first military engagement of the American Revolution.
Yep.
And the first official battle of the Civil War. I'll give a point for each.
Gotcha. I'm glad you read it the second time because I didn't get it the first time.
Oh. It happens when I host.
No, it's not that. I just didn't understand.
Which part didn't you understand? The words?
What? Yeah. All of it.
Your tone.
Yeah, I don't care for your tone.
Getting the a bit lippy. Yeah. All right. So we're looking for the names of the first military engagement of the American Revolutionary War and the first battle of the American Civil War. We got some deep thought here. Brian, do you have some down?
Yeah, but I'm not confident. Don't feel good about it. At all, but I got some down. So
that's whatever. Good. Hey, yeah,
you know,
you're already ahead of the other three guys.
Exactly. They're taking forever.
They're still thinking. First military engagement of the Revolutionary War. First Battle of the Civil War. You've at least heard of them. I can tell you that.
I'm sure, but yeah.
I've been on a kick of watching shows in this time frame, both time frames.
Really?
And it is escaping me right now.
I've
been watching
the Ken Burns documentary?
No, Manhunt.
Oh.
And what's the other one I watched recently about the Revolutionary War? It's all set in Boston.
Is that the one with the guy's a spy? That one?
No, it's based on Sam Adams. Sam Adams, the main character.
Oh, Sam Adams.
And in the show, I can't remember. We'll discuss it later.
Okay. I've watched
both of those recently.
Really good.
That's what I thought he was talking about. All right, so does everybody have an answer?
Yes, yes, yes.
Or two answers, actually, is what I'm looking for. All right, we're going to start. Oh, okay. So we're looking for the first military engagement of the American Revolutionary War and the first official battle of the American Civil War.
Yes.
So we're talking our native land, bloodshed on our soil. Kelly, I got to give you like a 3 count in my head right now.
Yeah, I'm
that's all right.
I screwed the pooch, and I'm so mad right now.
Well, we're gonna reveal. I'm gonna start with you, Andy. What do you got? We got Kitty Hawk in Yorktown. We got Bunker Hill in Gettysburg. We have Battle of Lexington and Concord. You only got the one answer. Battle of Gettysburg.
No, that's two different answers.
No, Lexington. It's not. Battle of Lexington and Concord. That's the correct answer for the Revolutionary War.
Yeah.
Lexington and Concord?
Yes. For the Civil War, it was the battle at Fort Sumter. You had that on the tip of your tongue, didn't you?
Yeah.
No. But I wish I should have.
Did we go to Fort Sumter, Dot? Is that the one we visited? You guys have been there?
I thought it is.
Is it down in the...
The only one you got in. What'd you have?
He only had Gettysburg, so he didn't get anything.
I didn't get any stinking points.
Yeah, but you didn't get two, so you didn't really catch up. Well, historians cannot definitively prove which side fired the first
shot heard around the world at Lexington Green.
Mm-hmm.
Both the British regulars and the colonial militia had strict orders not to fire unless fired upon. So, I don't know, somebody fired off one. Despite the relentless 34-hour bombardment, where over 3,000 shells were fired, no soldiers on either side were killed during the actual battle at Fort Sumter.
Tells you also how good the weapons were back then.
I mean, there, you know? At some point, it's like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
You know, the only fatalities occurred during a 100-gun salute after the surrender, where a pile of cartridges accidentally exploded.
Oh, my word.
I mean, there's American history for you if I've ever heard it.
That's warfare at its best.
Don't study that.
Well, that is 10. Kelly?
Well, we had Brian with 3. Andy and myself had 4. And the good doctor, Scott, wins again with 5. Congrats, Scott. Congrats.
God, five, good job.
I feel good. Likes him.
I'd have given
you the animal stunt one.
Huh?
I would have given you if
you
I was hosting. I would have given it to him. I wasn't going to speak up because then he's out of reach.
Yeah. Well, just specifically because I think that's what he was referencing.
I know that.
To be honest, I definitely wanted to give it to him, and I would have if
didn't want
to if it would have helped the game in any way. But I wanted you guys to still be in the race, to be very honest with you.
And that's why I hate you.
Yeah, as you should. Doc, I don't like you either.
So. We're all rooting against you.
We're all rooting against you. So, but congratulations. Yeah. I did have a tiebreaker. Nothing too crazy. How long did the Friendship 7 mission take from launch to landing?
Seven
what?
Minutes.
The what?
Friendship 7. I believe that was John Glenn's voyage, wasn't it? Yeah.
Oh, how long did it take?
How long did it take from launch to landing? Because I didn't put it in. I have it in my notes for how long the mission actually lasted, but I wanted to make a tiebreaker out of it. And then on average, how many seconds did it take for Friendship 7 to complete an orbit around the Earth? Just so you guys know.
8 days.
No, it took 4 hours and 55 minutes and 23 seconds to actually go around.
And he was getting there.
You were going to guess,
right?
He
was doing the math.
He was not.
He was doing the math. I saw
him. Fine. Tell me how many seconds it was then.
11.
5.
There is a 5 in it. You go, good job.
I wasn't done with the math.
Well, that's all I got, Andrew.
Nice work, man. I like that trivia.
Okay, good.
There's an infinite number. We can revisit this over and over again.
Exactly.
But it's a very generalized topic.
Yes, and I use the term famous somewhat loosely.
Yeah. Yeah, you get the point across.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Congratulations, Dot.
Thank you.
All right, yep. That's going to do it, guys, for this episode of the Ultimate Trivia Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, send us a note, leave us a voicemail, hit that subscribe on YouTube. And we'll see you next time with more trivia and more fun. Until then, keep your brain sharp and those bellies laughing.
Hey, listeners, Nick here. Want to tell you about Warrior Logo Wear, the official sponsor of our merch store. Check them out. They are veteran-owned. They have no minimum orders, so if you want to make your own thing, go to warriorlogowear.com. Or if you want to buy our merch, which is fantastic, go to theultimatetriviapodcast.com, click the link, buy some swag.